Rick Spielman joining us right off the podium.
Right off the podium to 9 to noon.
You're a dollar poorer coming out of that. How about that? Adrian Peterson
we're on the radio.
Was not topic A.
I didn't get a headset. Might only need a headset today.
You want a headset?
Right there.
I can get you a headset.
Now, you're going to get earworms from his headset. So I don't know if you want that.
I'm going to be serious with you here before I give you this headset. Zach Parise for the Minnesota Wild has mumps.
Okay.
I've read that.
Parise and Pominville are missing games with mumps. 5 days ago, yours truly was at the X doing Vox in the Box. Had Parise on the radio show. He wore those headphones, and now he has mumps.
Now look.
So do you want the headphones or not?
I'll take Church's one with hair falling out. I'll take all those.
Not anymore. It's not falling out. That's the beauty of it.
You know what's great? And by the way.
Thank you, Hair Restoration Institute.
There you go. I was trying to give you a softball to
did.
Give a promotion.
Thank you very much.
You're so
Your
crafty.
Your advertisements are very entertaining.
Why, thank you.
You're so crafty. Rick Spielman, general manager, Minnesota Vikings, joins us here at KFAN at the Combine. You are marked for Ash Wednesday, which gives you Catholic cred. But where it helps the fan base and the radio show is it's awesome for Lent that you gave up being evasive. So that's the best news ever. We get all the right answers today.
100% forthright on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, I just promised that to my wife, that I would stop giving evasive answers at home on why I didn't put the damn dishes away.
How'd the podium go? Was it a grilling session? Was it easy? What was it like?
Normal session.
You've been to handling school. You're not handling.
You expect the questions that are coming, and you have your elusive answers prepared.
Yeah,
and so you're ready to go.
Right.
I want to start by just first congratulations on the Bradford deal, because there are a lot of people that questioned it when it happened. There are a lot of people that questioned it throughout the season, but I think most people now rationally look back and go, given where Teddy is now, that decision that you had to make then ended up putting this team in a position where you don't have to go find a quarterback right now, that's worth a first-round pick.
Yeah, and you look back, and if Bradford was coming out in the first round this year, would you select him? And I think for everything that and all the adversity that he had to overcome for him to come in and do what he did for our football team, I don't know if we would have done anything else with another quarterback if we would have had the same results as we had with Sam.
Yeah, I think we agree, and I heard your comments on the podium that he had a very good season, and you feel confident
for everything
forward.
And that's why we're excited in the next year, which was a key part of the deal, to have him under contract for 2 years, to have a full off season, to be with Pat Shurmur as the offensive coordinator now, mm-hmm. which he has a history with, and how that will evolve.
So relative to that, you mentioned he was under contract for this year, but it's only 1 year. And, at some point, most starting quarterbacks don't get to the finish line and enter free agency, or else you end up in a Kirk Cousins-like conundrum that the Redskins found themselves in. So at some point over the course of this season, I assume you're going to have some kind of dialogue about potentially, extending his relationship with the Vikings.
We have dialogue on all of our players.
Oh, so. Stop. Oh, geez.
Rick, that's
Come
being
on.
Evasive. You gave up
exactly.
evasiveness for Lent.
Exactly.
Come on.
We know, all our, as we put our cap plan in place and how we address our needs in 2017, mm-hmm. we also know there are some significant players coming up after the 18 season that we're going to have to address.
Yeah.
And so as you sit there and put your financial plan in place, you have to be very strategic on how you go about and what you commit, because you would hate to lose a young player that you've developed because you made a mistake maybe the previous year before on a contract that you may have overpaid on.
And you've got a Xavier Rhodes looming coming up as well.
That'll
it's going to be an expensive one.
That'll be another one that we'll probably have to address here sooner rather than later.
Rick, you protect picks generally like they're the professional version of your children. So given the unique nature you faced into last season, you gave up that first-round pick, you got Bradford. Now, you wouldn't have done it if you didn't like Sam, but from what you felt then to after watching Sam for the full season, what overall did you think about Sam that you really, really liked?
Just, I think the biggest question was his ability to line up and play for 16 games. He did that in Philly. I think he missed one game in Philly.
Yeah, maybe two.
But some of the shots that he had taken during the season, and for him, I'll never forget the, I think it was the Dallas game where he took a pretty significant shot to the ribs right before halftime.
That's right. Yeah.
And he had, there was no question that he came out and started throwing the ball. So if anyone ever questioned his heart and his toughness, I think those questions were answered this year.
Throughout all the trouble the offensive line had, a borderline historic run of bad luck and injuries and all the other things that happened, some point during the season I made a note to myself in my calendar from the middle of last year to ask you at the combine, what
Boy,
kind
you
of,
are like very, you're like
oh, well,
us
I don't
trying
get to
plan.
Talk to you all the time.
You're 3 or 4 months ahead
I was.
For questions.
A lot of people on Twitter were frustrated because you didn't just drum up an offensive lineman, you didn't drum up new tackles. What kind of machinations were you going through to try to find tackle help in the middle of a season where, you know, you're losing people?
You have to be realistic at those expectations. I know you try to do everything you can to fill those needs, but when then one drops and another drops and they keep dropping, you have to understand that the availability, that there's not a lot of great left tackles that are out on the market or on the street waiting to get signed during the season.
Right.
That's a premium position, just like I don't think there's a lot of great quarterbacks out there during the season that you're going to plug and play and say, oh, yeah, this guy's going to give us a chance to win a Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
So you try to do the best you can. I think we ended up with 5 off left tackles this year playing at one point or another.
Right.
Which you just, there's not enough bodies or there's not enough ability to go out there and get another left tackle if they're not available. And you're not going to mortgage the future. We already gave a first round pickup for Sam Bradford and a significant contract. So you can't play fantasy football and give up. Okay, your first-round draft pick in 2018,
sure,
and another significant contract. Because if you start doing that, you're going to affect your ability to keep a competitive football team on the field year in and year out, and you're going to lose a lot of your young guys that you know you're going to have to pay significant contracts to because you just committed for the now, win-now approach instead of trying to win now, but also look out for the future.
Right, so that took a lot of your ability to trade for a solution off the table, unfortunately. So now you're mostly looking at tackles that were just available.
That were free agents. Young guys that were or street free agents or older guys. And we tried, Jake tried with Jake.
Yeah.
We were able to get a kid off of Jacksonville's practice squad who was a college free agent rookie who actually came in and played pretty well in the last game against the Bears. So, we'll see how he develops. But it is one of the hardest positions to find, especially when they're going against the top pass rushers every team has week in and week out.
Right. With Rick, with offensive linemen, I think I heard you touch on this with that media session that I couldn't get to. I was doing my radio show. When it comes to offensive linemen drafted in rounds 4 or beyond, or they're college free agents, I mean, how deep does the study go over, like, the last 10, 15, or 20 years with legitimately how long it takes those players to play even, like, 500, 700 snaps in a season?
Just to start off, it was a study on a lot of things. We do a lot of studies, on different aspects of the personnel side. But you know that that's probably more likely the case, just like in any other position. But some positions, maybe you have a 15% higher chance of hitting in rounds 4 through 7 than maybe you do at another position. I just didn't know what the difference was in percentage on positions and offensive line. I thought that when we drafted Sullivan and even Fusco before they started having their injury history were pretty good finds. When you study all the offensive lines in the NFL, you wish you had all what I call red or blue players, 5 legitimate starters. But a lot of teams are playing with maybe a blue-type player, a red-type player, but filling in with some guys that are more than likely backups, but they're just not enough to go around. They have to start.
Yeah.
So
interestingly, with like T.J. Clemmings, played all 16 in the playoff game in his rookie year.
Right.
Serviceable at right tackle. Fairness and Conversation had a rough year last year at left tackle.
Right.
So people might look at that microcosm and feel, okay, TJ can't play, it was a bad pick, where you guys into year 3 would be excited.
The question is,
because he's hitting that time he's supposed to be good.
Two things on that point is he had a very good camp and was competing with Andre Smith at right tackle. And when Andre went down, you had seen a significant improvement from year one to two at right tackle. Then you're asking the kid, because we had no other options left, okay, I know you've never played this in your entire life.
Yeah.
You've only played offensive line for 4 years, but now we're going to throw you at probably the hardest position on the offensive line at left tackle. Go ahead and do what you can do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when some of the holes start showing up, you know, our coaches did a great job trying to adjust some of the protections to help him, but you can't protect him every snap. But when you look at some of these offensive linemen, you know, the right tackle at New England.
Cannon,
okay. And we've watched him, but it was amazing by year 4 or 5 what these guys turn into. Mm-hmm. And I know –
even the guy for the Falcons, I think it's Schrader or Schaefer.
Correct. He was a college free agent.
Yeah.
Right. But even the tight end, the big – he played against us as a heavy tight end down in New Orleans.
Zach Strafe?
Strafe. Yep. Right now he's a pretty legit starting right tackle. But that took him 4 or 5 years. So I know there's patience and people don't have patience, but you can't just throw these young guys out,
yeah,
you know, right after the first or second year. You have to give that time.
You don't have the luxury of patience because you have immediate need at both your tackle positions coming into this
Correct.
Year. We don't have 3-4 years to develop somebody.
No. And we're not, you know, taking our time to say, okay, we're going to wait to hopefully by year 4 we'll be solved.
Yeah, right.
We're going to try to be as aggressively attack those needs as we can, either through the draft or free agency, depending on how our meetings turn out.
Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer joins us tomorrow at the Combine. Another segment with Vikings general manager Rick Spielman is next from Indianapolis when we return to the Fan. Final hour of day one, KFAN at the Combine, courtesy of Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care. Dr. David Whiting, thank you for your sponsorship on a yearly basis. Paul Allen, Paul Charchian, producer on site, Eric Nordquist, Zach Halverson, guiding the great ship Love Covenant at FM 100.3 The Fan. We are your home for exclusive Combine coverage and Minnesota Vikings football. We're right now for a final segment today. We are joined by Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman.
We were talking about the offensive line, all the problems that it had. In the offseason, not only do you evaluate players, but you and head coach Mike Zimmer also evaluate coaches. Some coaches are gone from last year. How do you evaluate a guy like Tony Sperano, who's trying to coach through all of those injuries, and you're trying to decide, you know, and obviously the offensive line didn't work for, you know, a lot of reasons, but you're trying to figure out, boy, was the coach effective or not when he never, you know, he always had a moving target on, you know, who his guys were and what the, you know, offensive line. So how do you evaluate a coach
One
in
of
that
the
position?
Most, yeah, difficult positions to coach is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we attacked the offensive line last year and said Matt Khalil is going to be our left tackle and Alex Boone's our left guard,
yeah,
and you're going to have Berger and Sullivan battle it out at center and Fusco and Mike Harris battle it out at right guard and Phil Loadholt and Andre Smith and T.J. Clemens battle it out at right tackle. We got pretty good depth.
Yeah.
But as things happen, you can't predict what happens. And that continuity up front is so important that you can keep as many pieces together because they have to work together as one unit, from the protections, from knowing when to switch when they're running games and twists on the end. That's all chemistry that's built up amongst those five working together where they anticipate. I know when Matt Khalil's going to pass that defensive end coming inside to me where another offensive tackle may not pass him off as quick or may pass him off quicker.
Sure.
So a lot of that is chemistry that's built through the offseason and built through training camp. But when you're dealing with 12 different combinations of players on that, it's he had a very daunting task to try to piece it together as best as he could.
With free agency right on top of the combine, is that difficult this year? How do you?
I would say intriguing.
Yeah.
This happened maybe I think 5 or 6 years ago. Usually, when you're down here and you're speaking with your players' agents that you currently have on your roster,
only the ones that you currently have on your roster.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yes.
That. I just wanted to make sure. I'm glad you picked up on that. PA didn't, but that's fine.
By the way, speaking of which, there. People are probably tampering technically with Adrian right now. right? I mean, you know, you've declared that you're not going to play his.
But he is not.
He's not a free agent yet.
He's not a street free agent. He is not on a street. He is an unrestricted free agent.
What's that mean?
So that's like, the difference. If you cut a player, like when we cut.
Like Earl Mitchell, who went to the Niners.
Right. Okay. Technically, if you cut a player and he was under contract, and, you know, with Adrian's situation, he had an option. It was our selection not to exercise that option.
Right.
So by doing that, that made him an unrestricted free agent, not a street free agent. Brandon Fusco, for example, was under contract, and he had one or two more years left on his deal. When we decided to release him, he became a street free agent.
So anybody could contact him immediately.
Correct. Once the waiver period started again.
Right. Now, is that I assume that Adrian would be available for anybody to talk to at once you get to the new league year, which is the
two-day negotiating period before the new league year kicks off, which will be Tuesday and Wednesday when we return from the combine.
So at that point, teams can, you know, within the rules of the league, talk to Adrian and his representatives, but not before then.
No.
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 Do you care if they do?
I don't know what other teams do, so it's none of my business. I just know that we go by the strict rules and policies of the NFL.
Well, of course you do. I'm just saying, do you care, right? Because, you know, at this point, you've decided that you're not going to pay it, so do you care? I mean, would it matter?
Yeah, because, you know, like all of our players, we're going to keep that option open for a return.
What was the Wilf's reaction?
Wait, was that on my
on your Hagen card?
Yeah.
Time for two more. What was the Wilf's reaction when you told them that you're not going to pick up that option?
Oh, I've been out to New York twice. You know, myself and Coach Zimmer go out for year end review of everything from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then I specifically went out there last week just to finalize with Rob Brzezinski our plan on our cap situation and the potential cash that we're going to have to spend coming up here in free agency. But you can put those numbers out there, and your ownership can give you X amount in your budget to go out and spend, but you don't know where the markets are going to go. Every year you think you know where they're going.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it only takes one team to put the market in a whole different level that you weren't expecting. But the one thing from our ownership standpoint, when we have called and we're in that negotiating window talking with a player from another team, say, hey, this is starting to go here, they have never said no.
Yeah.
Where you pull back is if it's going to affect your ability to sign one of your own players back. Like we got in a situation last year, I won't say who or what, but it was getting to the point where it may have affected our ability to sign Harrison Smith back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you have to weigh all those into your decisions too. But it was never, from an ownership standpoint, them ever giving us the financial backing that we need to go out and do what we have to do to win.
You made mention of Joe Berger's name, and I just wanted to.
I didn't mention him. Did I mention Joe Berger?
You did, as a
matter of fact.
Sullivan for center. That's right. I'm just a little bit worried that, you know, with like 14-year veteran, the concussions. Do I need to lay awake night that, you know, that this team needs a center and that we don't have a starting center for next year? Have you heard about any intention?
Yeah, I don't know enough about Ethan Posick yet. I mean, I'm not that far down the road.
Right.
I could talk about Nick Easton.
Right.
But the one thing that was real positive about this year is that even though we were forced into the issue, we have over 400 snaps of Nick Easton at center. We have 300 and some snaps of Zach Kern at center. We actually know, you know, Searles, what he was at right tackle, but he came in and played some snaps at guard.
He did.
And we graded those tapes. And now, you know, you're going into the decision as – okay, we know we have some holes to fill, but can these guys potentially fill those holes? Because those are all first, second-year, third-year type players that may just now be reaching the prime, and you know a lot more about them if you want to take a positive out of last year than you would have if they never did play a snap in a regular season game.
Okay, Rick, but back to Joe. you don't have confirmation either way on whether
we expect Joe's under contract. We expect Joe to be with us next year.
Okay.
Whether it's your guys you're looking to re-sign or then free agency begins, and, you know, you and Rob Brzezinski, the money guy, you guys do a lot of work with agents. Are some agents more well prepared than others when they sit down with you? It's like, do some people come in with, like, seriously, a Tolstoy novel of reasons their guy should get cash, and then some come in and they're just like, well, you know Xavier's good, so just give him the money?
You deal just like in any business. There are guys that are very professional that have done their homework and research. Now, I don't agree with the tools that they use for their research, and I won't leave it at that.
Really?
And then, but I would say for the most part, our players' representatives are very well prepared when they come in and meet with us. And
yeah.
I can say each and every one of those guys do a very professional job for their players.
You have a tricky decision on Adam Thielen coming up, right? He's a restricted free agent. You will need to tender him, and you've got to figure out where to tender him.
Correct.
The higher you tender him, the
he's
more money
good,
he's
Rick.
Going to get.
Correct.
If you tender him at, let's say, the second-round level, boy, if I'm a team that needs wide receiver and I'm thinking I can use a second-round pick on an unproven rookie receiver or an Adam Thielen who's made these dramatic improvements, boy, that might be really tempting to offer him a deal and take that tender and then force you into a position where you'd have to
unless we want
potentially match it.
We can match that offer
That's
as well.
Right. Yeah.
So Rob has done a great job managing our cap where we have flexibility to be able to do what we need to do if we do want to keep a player.
Right. So, you know, with Thielen in particular.
Or
yeah.
We take a approach potentially on, okay, between now and before you have to put the tender on, do you try to reach a potential extension with him?
That's the A topic. So that's what we're doing, right? You gave up evasiveness for Lent. That's what we're doing. We're re-signing Thielen right now, right?
We're doing. I'm just saying those are the options that you have to look at.
Diggs and Thielen, man, that's nice, isn't it? That's pretty good. Stephon Diggs and Thielen and their development. Don't you agree?
Yeah, we feel we have a lot of good young receivers that are coming into play.
What about Treadwell? What's going to be better with Laquan next year?
Oh, I think just the the experience. And I talked about it a little bit at the main podium on a receiver's understanding when they come out from college. Okay, they run to get open. I don't know if the precision of their routes has to be the exact same. There's a window where they're open a lot cleaner. There's a lot cleaner windows to throw them.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the NFL, you're going to be catching in tighter windows. The one thing is the quarterbacks here anticipate and throw the ball before they get out of their break. So if you go to 10 yards instead of 8 yards to run a hitch route on the outside and the quarterback throws an interception, he may not throw it back to you again because that's a trust factor that has to be built up.
Yeah.
And so we're very excited about Laquan and some of the progress that he's made. Now, you know, he got put behind the eight ball a little bit with some of the injuries, but also, you know, with Cordarrelle Patterson becoming much more involved in the offense as a receiver, with Stephon Diggs, with Thielen's rise from the ashes, even though he was a really good football player,
yeah.
To where, how he showed. So all of a sudden that limited maybe some of the opportunities that he was going to get. And I talked about the podium just on Mackenzie Alexander. When we drafted him in the second round, he was behind four pretty good corners. We had a lot of corner depth. Now we know we have some of those guys coming up in free agency, but at least you've drafted a player that has a lot of ability that our coaches were able to train for a year, and we are determined now rather – do we sign our guys back, or do we feel comfortable enough that McKenzie's ready to go?
Well, this is meaty. Holy
cow.
Based
on what we saw last year, maybe my evaluation's way off, but in the limited snaps that McKenzie had, there's some work to be done still.
Did you see him? But where you see the true evaluation is during the preseason, where he played very well in the preseason. And to throw a rookie in the limited snaps, you're throwing him in there in the third or fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different than when you're lathered up the whole game. But when you've seen him in extensive action during the preseason, you've seen the interceptions that he made. You've seen, even with some of those guys that we had in the third day, the Stephen Weatherly's, the Jalen Curses, a lot of guys, the Morgans, those guys potentially are going to have significant roles coming into this season.
You know what sucks right now is I can't remember your Twitter handle. Because I'm trying to promote that you're thinking about signing Thielen to an extension.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tag you in it, but I can't. What is it again?
PA on the mic at onthemic.com.
There you go. That'll be
the
it.
Best. Yes.
You mentioned Cordero, and I know you want to keep all your players, so we'll take that off the board right now. But you have a fascinating decision to make on him because he improved in so many ways last year, got way, way more reps at receiver than we thought he was going to get, turned into a gunner that we hadn't seen in the past.
An excellent gunner, maybe one of the best in the NFL.
Yes. I mean, you've got it's become a really tricky decision, isn't it?
Yes, it has.
Yes, it has.
Well, you've given up evasively.
Brilliant.
What are you going to do?
How about that? How would you evaluate the decision to keep Cordero Patterson?
As you go through this, you have to look at what your game plan is. But the market is so unpredictable right now that you don't know what the finances you're going to have available. But there are a lot of tough decisions to make. Do you attack free agency if there's the value out there on the offensive line? Well, what does that cost you?
Yeah.
Could that cost you maybe signing some of your own guys back?
Right.
So those are all the decisions and factors you have to weigh into this. And then hopefully if you do lose some of those players, that you're able to fill their positions with guys that you have drafted last year and even coming into this year's draft class. So it's a ever-evolving thing. I wish we can keep all our players and have all the money to keep everybody, but realistically that's not going to happen.
Happy with his development though?
I think he's made tremendous strides.
Yeah. Was different? I mean, why was this year so different? I mean, at this time last year, we didn't know if Cordero was going to make the team.
Right.
And he ended up being pretty instrumental.
Well, no, and just in his role that he carved, I mean, he's been a Pro Bowler 2 out of the 4 years he's been with us.
Special teams, yeah.
Special teams,
yep.
And he evolved as a receiver, and that's, you don't know when things start to click with these guys. There was no question about his athletic ability and his skill set to make big plays when he has the ball in his hands. It was just how long does it take to develop on what I was talking about earlier on the precision of routes, quarterback trusting you're going to be at the spot, all those things. And sometimes it takes guys longer than others depending on the background that they come from.
Did Captain come into your office 2 Fridays ago and beg you to re-sign him? Because he was on my radio show at the Winterfest, and he said, I'm leaving here at noon, and I'm going right into that man's office.
Unfortunately, I've been in meetings locked behind a closed door. So.
Right.
Hey, but Captain's done an incredible job for us. And that year we signed 2 significant guys, Captain and Linville Joseph, in free agency, and Linville's turned out to be a pretty good player as well.
Thanks for the conversation. Good luck in free
agency.
Thanks for having
me on.
And with the combine, we appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings.
Do you want to get another hair restoration?
Hair Restoration Institute, Vern Cole. Yeah. just trying to get to your level of hair coiffedness. I mean, that's beautiful right there.
Well, what about considering getting those rings shined at your favorite jewelry store,
that's
which would be
rosary.
What? Would be Continental Diamond, St. Louis Park.
Yes.
Yes.
You could put an eye out with that ring. I mean, that ring is, I mean, it's Ash Wednesday, but there's a 1-inch cross coming out of that ring. If you punch somebody with that,
punch my kids in church when they act up.
If you and Ted Thompson get into a fight over a free agent, you're favored because of that ring.
That's
all right.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Pete.